This is Audible.
Fireborn by Nick Kine. Performed by Toby Longworth. Though it was forbidden, Evangeline ran through the Chapel of Divine Sanctuary. She ran as if the hounds of chaos were behind her. Votive candles lit the way through one of the transepts of remembrance, guttering faintly as she swept by. Statues of martyred saints glared at her disapprovingly from shaded alcoves. As she passed through the holy narthex, Evangeline was trying to piece together what she'd seen. Her sandaled feet rapping on the cold convent floor, louder than incendiary blasts in the silence, muddled her thoughts. Blood. She'd seen blood, like red rain coming from the sky. All shall bleed, the voices had said. Skulls for the throne of. The last part made her dizzy. She smelled oil, tasted iron, and heard the distant hum of machinery, though the convent was quiet as the void. In the devotional gallery, she found Father Lumion.
My child, what in the Emperor's name is wrong?
The breathless specimen, a waif of a girl in pale, unadorned robes, could only pant. Father Lumion, officious in his priestly vestments, drifted from behind his blackwood desk. He'd been laboring over parchments and data slates, a mechanized lexicanum savant scribing his dictations with a neuroquill. Sublimation of native belief cultures into the auspices of the Imperial Creed. It was heavy work, gratefully postponed, even for a devoted man like Father Lumion. Dismissing a pair of cyborganic cherubs who had descended on angelic wings to investigate the sudden fuss, he came before Evangeline and gently lifted her chin.
Be at peace.
Evangeline's frenzy lessened to an insistent ache.
And tell me what the matter is.
The sister hospitaller had tears in her eyes and a tremor in her body. An answer wasn't forthcoming.
Come with me.
Father Lumion led her slowly to an ornate balcony, which looked out over all of Sepulchre IV. Chapels and cathedra stretched into the distance. Castellated bell towers touched the heavens. Pilgrims marched over chasms spanning ornate bridges, and fluttering cherub servitors flocked the skies. Armies of the righteous, adepts of the ecclesiarchy, and its most zealous defenders populated this shrine world. The sight of it gladdened Father Lumion whenever he beheld it. Sister Evangeline's reaction was not as beatific. She wept and shook and looked away, pointing to the sky. When Father Lumion followed her gesture, he noticed Sepulchre's sun. It was red, where once it had been yellow. It was red and drenched the pale stone of the cathedrals, so they looked as if they'd been fashioned from incarnadine bone.
What did you see?
He seized Evangeline by the shoulder. He was hurting her and knew it.
Tell me now!
Their eyes met, Evangeline's full of fear and foreboding, Father Lumion's red-ringed and fervent.
What had she seen in the dark of the abyss? Why was the sky bleeding?
She confessed everything. Pinching her under the arm to keep her close, Father Lumion hurried Evangeline through the quiet corridors of the convent bastion. Their passage was met by furtive glances from the other sister hospitallers of the Order of the Inner Sanctum. Some carried votive candles or pungent censer burners. They kept their eyes low, but were obviously dismayed that one of their order, even a lowly novitiate, was being led off so urgently. Lumion bustled past them, scarcely stopping as he activated gilded blast doors and mechanized arch gates. Artifact chambers, reliquary vaults, beautifully illuminated vaulted ceilings, and finely sculptured columns went by in a blur of insignificance. Father Lumion ignored them all. He said nothing, only frowned with the furrowed expression of a man who'd asked and received an answer he wished to return. He half glanced at Evangeline. Her face was the color of ash. Within the order, it was unprecedented. Slowly, the religious austerity of the convent bastion gave way to military functionality. Slab-like walls of gunmetal grey rose around them like bulkheads. Steam-stamped barrack markings and warning chevrons provided direction. The distant ring of combat training became a muffled refrain to their softer footfalls. Evangeline had only ever roamed in the Chapel of Divine Sanctuary and its annexes that included her dormitory. She had never been to this part of the sprawling convent bastion. It was cold and harsh. Percussive weapons fire from some distant armory hurt her ears. The clash of blades sent unpleasant jolts down her spine. Father Lumion sensed her reluctance to proceed and had to march Evangeline the rest of the way. At the end of a long, stark corridor, their journey ended. Before them, a single figure stood silhouetted in the light from overhead loom globes. She had the cut and form of a crusader. Her robes were red to resemble the blood of martyrs running in her veins. Her silver helm occluded her face completely, though her stance suggested it was severe beneath the mailed mask. One gauntleted fist gripped a vast crusader shield, almost the size of her entire body. Only with the augmented strength from her armor, which was also swathed with purity seals, devotional chains, and holy parchments, could she wield it. The same was true of the crusader sword in her other hand. Its blade was etched with tiny inscriptions and crackled with energy from an unseen source. Father Lumion found it leveled at him when he approached her. He held up the Aquila icon, suspended around his neck by a string of pearls. Each one had been fashioned from a saint's knuckle bone. It was a potent symbol and the staff of his office.
In the Emperor's name, I must speak with Canoness Ignatia immediately. It is a dire matter.
The slightest inclination of the formidable crusader's head suggested she noticed Evangeline cowering beside Father Lumion. The warrior didn't move, and for a moment the venerable priest feared she might strike them both down. At a silent command, the blast doors behind the crusader broke open, as if cracked by a bolt of invisible lightning. Lowering her sword, she backed off into the escaping pressure mist. Wiping his brow with his sleeve, already knowing there'd be more grey in his temples come the morning, Father Lumion started to drag Evangeline through after him. The scream of warning klaxons brought them both to an abrupt halt. The convent bastion was on sudden alert.
It's already here.
Heavy-booted feet were hammering down the corridor towards them. Canoness Ignatia was marshalling her troops. Sepulchre 4 was under attack. A mass evacuation was underway. Fleets of ships, lighters, arc cruisers, speeders, freight haulers, clippers, and gunships were deserting Sepulchre 4 in their droves, like insects fleeing a forest fire. On the ground, those without vessels to ferry them to the starships anchored in low orbit around the planet had to run. Masses of people clogged the roads. Some clung desperately to one another for succor, others screamed for deliverance. The few that had mechanized walkers or personal half-tracks were soon mired in the throng. Horns blared frantically like the wailing of the already damned.
Pandemonium reigns.
Tsugan was unable to keep the sneer from his face. It was black. Not dark-skinned, but really black, like onyx, and just as hard. The red spike of beard on his chin jutted like an accusing finger as he stared through one of the implacable's vision slits.
They want to live.
Praetor's deep voice was matter of fact, but dominated over the Thunderhawk gunship's engine noise.
It's not so weak to cherish your own life,
he added, guessing what the other space marine was thinking. Tsugan turned, his heavy Terminator armor whirring and clanking as the hidden servos went to work shifting his bulk, and his red eyes blazed in the gloomy hold. He found the cumbersome suit a challenge, but relished the power it gave him. Tsugan valued strength above all else. He appraised the rest of his squad in a glance. Ankar and Kairu were as still as sentinels. their grav harnesses locked and widened to accommodate their bulk. Gathimu, the spear, was anointing his heavy flamer with ash. He drew a wide slash with his armored finger, then followed it with a drake's head. It was Kalimar, the creature he'd slain below Mount Deathfire, and whose flesh he now wore as a mantle on his left pauldron. So focused, so honed, was Gathimu. Praetor was his sergeant, a veteran of over 100 campaigns, a hero of the chapter. Apart from Sugan, he was the only one yet to don his helmet. Praetor's face and scalp were bald, polished to mirror sheen by his brander priest. The scars upon his cheek and the three platinum service studs above his left brow were marks of honor and service. His Terminator armor was more ornate than Sugan's. Fashioned by a master artificer, it bore the heraldic devices of dragon heads and gilded laurels. It came with a cape of salamander hide that almost went down to the floor. Praetor glowered.
To your harness, brother. It's not much further.
Sugan obeyed, still finding the unfamiliar sensation of walking in tactical dreadnought armor unsettling. Once he was maglocked and secured by thick metal braces, he relaxed. These men, these super men, were his brothers. Not by blood, but by battle. Born in Vulcan's Forge, their bond was stronger than adamantium. They were salamanders, fireborn. No, they were more than that. They were the chapter's first company, to which their armor and its proud iconography testified. Their fire drakes. As Praetor leaned forward to look through one of the vision slits, the green of his Terminator suit caught a shaft of light from outside and turned a lurid purple.
The sky is as red as blood.
Yet we defy it, going against the tide.
Gathimu had finished his rituals and looked over at Sugan through the cold lenses of his battle helm. Ornate drake's teeth were crafted onto either profile and gave the helm a feral snarl.
Flex your muscles. Cycle through your pre-battle physical routines. It will help.
I am ready.
You are untempered.
Sugan bit back a reply. He glared through the vision slit and saw again the red sky of the shrine world. Fat clouds gorged on blood smashed against the gunship's hull, painting it crimson and riming its edges with a visceral gum. Escaping ships sped past them too, heading away from the battle towards the hopeful salvation in low orbit. A blockade of enemy starships was already forming around the planet. They planned to slaughter everyone on this world, a glorious sacrifice to their violent potentate. Soon, no one would be getting off alive. It lent the salamander's mission a certain urgency that Sugan felt more acutely as he looked outside. Fire wreathed the horizon, casting a ruddy glow on the ruins of chapels and cathedra. Flaming bell towers had crumpled, like broken fingers reaching for the earth. Collapsed bridges were clogged with the dead, and the sky blossomed with explosions from faraway aerial battles. Sugan clenched his power fist. The servos whined within, and he thought of the distant war he would not be part of. He'd seen enough. Eyes back in the hold, he saw his battle brothers felt his frustration too. The red rage had come to Sepulchre IV, and its bloodlust was not easily sated. Roaring afterburners announced their arrival at the docking pad. Landing stanchions extended quickly as Implacable touched down. The salamanders disembarked from the rear hatch, green-armored giants plowing through the pneumatic pressure cloud. An Ecclesiarchy representative met them with two of her fellow battle sisters. Backwash from the Thunderhawk's half-powered down engines tossed her white hair, revealing a jagged scar that made her appear more severe. Though they came from the Order of the Ardent Veil, these warrior fanatics looked anything but peaceful. Their white power armor was studded with silver spikes, concomitant bodices drawn tight over their taut muscles. They were akin to the suits worn by the Firedrake's battle and reserve company brothers, slighter, but still potent. Holy signifiers, purity seals, rosarius beads, and icons of the Emperor's Aquila bedecked the armor, defining the Battle Sister's purpose and zealous determination. They held bolters low slung at their hips. The Sister Superior with the white hair also carried a flanged power mace. Her helmet, mag-locked to her belt, was silver. Whatever force of chaos had come upon Sepulchre IV must have been dire that these soldiers of faith could not defeat it. Praetor bowed his head before the Battle Sisters to show his respect. It had not been easy for them or the Ecclesiarchy to ask for help. The veteran sergeant had no wish to make it any more difficult. The white-haired superior nodded, then turned her back on the salamanders, leading them away from the docking pad towards a thick perimeter wall crowned by razor wire. Two watchtowers with mounted heavy bolters overlooked a reinforced gate on either side, the docking pad's only access point. Hard-looking female faces regarded the strangers from within, their mood unreadable. The docking pad doubled as a barracks and chapel too. Tsugan noticed much of its religious statuary had been ripped down and replaced by ablative armor, sandbags, and rockcrete barricades. Anything of significance to the faith of the Order was gone, leaving a blank echo on a wall or a denuded alcove. The fleeing ships transported not only people, but ecclesiastical artifacts too.
I've had warmer welcome on Fenris.
A glare from Praetor silenced him before they were led towards the gate. Tsugan had to agree with his battle brother. A cold wind was blowing through the Order of the Ardent Vale, and the white of their battle sister's armor reminded him of frost. Salamanders fought with a core of fire in their breast. These warrior maidens harbored a spike of ice. Once past the docking pad, Praetor chose to enlighten his brothers over a closed comm channel.
Use the senses our father gave you. The Order is mute. They cannot acknowledge you even if they wish to.
Kairu found suddenly that he was similarly afflicted.
Deeds, not words, are the speech of angels.
Gathimu was quoting from some philosophical treatise he'd read. Any reply was forestalled as a pair of immolator battle tanks reversed from the gate, allowing the salamanders through. Their turret-mounted inferno cannons swiveled as they moved, constantly trained on the gate. One trigger pull from the gunners would engulf the entranceway in a conflagration of burning promethium. With the churn of hidden gears, the gate cracked and slid open. The carnage of burnt-out tanks and twisted corpses, as seen from the air, lay beyond it. Sepulchre IV was a place of ruins and shades, of scorched earth and blood-tainted air. Some of the fire still flickered in the hollow shells of the broken basilica. Several battle sisters had flanked the gate, bolters aimed into the killing ground before them. The Sister Superior looked expectantly at Praetor. She wanted to seal the compound again quickly. Tsugan detected no enemies nearby. He scowled behind his battle helm at what he saw as fear. Fear is the province of the weak.
Ave Imperator.
Praetor addressed the battle sister. She slammed her gauntleted fist against her pauldron in salute as the salamander sergeant led his fire drakes out. Deeds, not words. Once outside, the gate ground shut behind them. The gaze of the battle sisters in the towers was still upon them, though. Tsugan felt their heavy bolter sights like an itch at the back of his neck. Gathimu released a spit of promethium from his heavy flamer to test the igniter on the nozzle, interrupting Tsugan's thoughts.
This place reeks of death.
Tsugan estimated over 1,000 dead bodies strewn throughout the perimeter.
The battle moved elsewhere, to the convent bastion.
Praetor had donned his battle helm and was consulting a data feed running across his left lens.
Our destination.
Topographical and geographical schemata spooled across his iris at rapid speed. Praetor's oculobe implant absorbed the information in a single beat, storing it in his eidetic memory for later use. He'd locked in the route to the convent bastion and was mission ready. He led them to a patch of open ground.
How many did they lose trying to get in?
Ankar took his place in a ritual circle with the others. Praetor paused to blink the relevant data onto his inner helm lens.
nearly a quarter of their garrison. Over 1,000 battle sisters. Though, I'd suggest that's a conservative estimate.
And within? Defending the bastion?
Celestians, mainly. They may have a few hundred troops inside. There are more beyond its walls, holding firm, for now.
Such a waste of lives. No wonder they're so aggrieved.
Tsugan's servos protested as he moved towards Praetor, his armor as belligerent as his mood.
They're fools. Mute or not, they should have summoned us sooner.
Gathimu was standing next to him.
Would your pride have allowed that, brother? Asking for help?
We need none. We are Astartes.
He stamped heavily into position beside his sergeant. His uneven gait was obvious, especially to Gathimu.
Your anger weighs you down more than that armor ever could. Let go of it.
It's not anger, thought Tsugan. It's hate.
And it went deep into his flesh, where he'd tried to have the Brander priest's iron remove it. But no burning, however invasive, could go far enough. Not when the hate and anger was turned inwards. Behind them, the burst of engine noise signaled the Implacable's takeoff from the docking pad. The gunship had brought them as close as it could without risking being downed by enemy flak. Several Ecclesiarchy craft littered the killing field outside the fortified compound, testament to the wisdom of an approach on foot. The rapid deployment of the Terminators to Sepulchre IV prevented any other kind of insertion.
And so we are alone.
Kairu lifted his head to watch the slowly vanishing outline of the Thunderhawk. Headed for Sepulchre IV's spaceport, it would aid the evacuation effort until summoned again by Praetor. Gathimu was philosophical.
In the end, brother, we are always alone.
Praetor looked to him now the salamanders had formed the ritual circle.
Ignite the flame.
A burst from Gathimu's heavy flamer lit a column of fire in the wasteland, like a beacon torch.
Vulcan's fire beats in my breast. With it I shall smite the foes of the Emperor.
They concluded as one. Then each thrust their fists into the blaze, allowing their armored fingers to blacken at the tips before withdrawing them.
We are born in fire. So do we wage war with it clenched in our mailed fist. Unto the anvil!
Praetor unslung his thunderhammer and storm shield.
Fire drakes! In Vulcan's name!
The ritual circle broke apart, and the salamanders fell into a combat march formation, Praetor at the front, the others forming a 2x2 square behind him. Tsugan's lens display showed 10 kilometers to the convent bastion. The land between them and it was fiercely contested by Ecclesiarchy and enemy troops. The war was close by. No way could they reach their destination without encountering it. It would be a long walk. Sister Evangeline prayed. She was in one of the convent bastion's sanctums, kneeling before an icon of her order's patron, the martyred Sister Euthraxes. Silver-armored Celestians surrounded her with ready bolters. Despite their experience and status, the elite battle sisters looked edgy. Father Lumion was conversing with Canoness Ignatia at the back of the small chamber. The Celestians were Ignatia's personal guard. She also wore silver armor, but of a more ornate design. An antique power sword was sheathed at her hip, next to her battle helm. Oil censers and a book of scripture hung from her belt by a pearled rosarius string, whilst the scars of battle mapped the canoness's face like a continent of past glories. Father Lumion looked calm, but the way he worried at his Aquila betrayed his concern.
We could hide.
Ignatia gave him narrowed eyes.
In the Chapel of Divine Sanctuary,
the priest added. The canoness shook her head. The notion of hiding was anathema to her. She wanted to wait. Perhaps with reinforcements from the Space Marines they could break through to the gunships. In a bout of frustration, Father Lumion pointed to where Evangeline was praying before the icon. There was a finger bone of the great martyr herself within its coffin-like confines. Some, the particularly devout, suggested some spirit essence still existed within the calcified remains.
The relic must be taken from this place. It cannot fall to the enemy. Even now they seek it.
Ignacia was about to admonish him when he held up his hand contritely.
Our forces dwindle by the minute. Soon there'll be none left, and the ruinous powers will not stall long at our barred gates. The Astartes are on the way, Canoness.
She scowled at this, ever prideful.
If we hide, it might give us more time. We might...
The hard clang of Ignacia slamming her fist against the wall stopped Father Lumion mid-plea. Evidently, signing would not convey her meaning accurately enough. Evangeline didn't start at the interruption, though it was loud enough. She stayed calm, channeling an inner peace as taught by the Sister Superior of the Hospitaller.
Anger serves only to promote further anger. Guidance is only found when the mind is still. Serenity breeds truth.
Before the canoness could go further, a pair of crusaders from the convent bastion's outer wall arrived at the sanctum's force-shielded doorway. Both had removed their helmets in the presence of their holy mistress. There was news from the battlefront. From their expressions, it wasn't good.
The chains tightened around the sorcerer's torso, forcing him awake. The iron links burned white hot and sent needles of agony across his bare flesh, where his power armor had been removed. Were it not for his enhanced constitution, he'd be dead. Dregor knew that, just as he knew how far he could push his captive. The warlord of the Red Rage was a tyrant and a butcher, but he was also wise. Khorne loathed magic, as did he. The collar of black iron around Dregor's neck was inimical to sorcery, but he was not beyond using sorcerers as a tool to further his own ends. The bitch maidens of the false emperor held his warrior legions at bay. No matter how many he threw against their defenses, the spiteful whores would not break. Dregor knew what lay within their disgusting temple. The sorcerer had scried its presence after the knives had gone in. Khorne wanted it. Dregor would not fail his master, who had seen fit to grant him an armada of ships to bring forth a bloody rain upon the subsector. Seven worlds already burned in the wake of his red crusade. He only needed one more. The eye of the gods was upon him. He felt it like razor blades under his changed skin. From the burnt-out shell of a shrine, Hagtar Dregor had fashioned an arena. The remains of its millennia-old reliquaries were scattered about the bloodied floor like carrion bones. Priceless relic statues lay broken and beheaded on a carpet of stained glass fragments. The blood of innocence anointed the shrine's walls from where they hung, impaled on hell bars. A chaos star delineated the battlefield with a freshly flensed skull at each of its 8 points. Two of Dregor's champions clashed within it, chainblade to chainblade. They wore sanguine power armor chased with brass. Reinforced ribbing between the armor's plates was as black as sackcloth, and each donned a skull-faced battle helm in honor of their bloody god. Dregor's own helm was fashioned into the visage of a snarling hound, a dark iron echo of one of his master's many forms, and had a single brass horn jutting from its left temple. His armor, scarred from numerous battles, was riddled with studs and barbs. Chains bearing 8 skulls from his finest kills hung from plate to plate. He'd scrimshawed marks to represent the lesser achievements. The tallies resembled little more than deranged scratches, there were so many of them. Rib bones were engineered into his vambraces. Alien teeth turned his gauntlets into spiked fists. Slayer Lord, Ender of Lives. Just 2 of Dregor's well-earned honorifics.
The warlord watched his champions intently from a pile of ruined stone. Something was still twitching beneath him, mewling for a merciful death. He paid it no heed. Let the weak suffer. While the blood flows, Khorne's will be done. His warriors fought fiercely, hacking at each other with abandon. Every drop of spilled blood hissed as it touched the unholy circle. Dregor saw dark energy coursing through the lines he had carved in the shattered flagstones. With a grunt, one of the champions severed the head of the other and roared. Though his armor was cut and his body bleeding from countless wounds, the warrior exulted in triumph. Dregor smiled beneath his helm. Khorne would be satisfied. The bloodletting had been prodigious. He turned his gaze upon the shackled sorcerer, who looked on meekly from the opposite end of the arena, caged in an iron gibbet. The warlord's eyes burned like balefires, and he nodded. As the sorcerer began to incant, blood from his ruptured organs flecked the inside of the cage. The victorious champion clutched his chest and went down on one knee. Vokran was a mighty warrior. He would make a strong vessel. Dark tendrils, like strands of hyperactive electricity, crackled around the circle. When the champion tried to rise, a black bolt felled him. He tried again, and this time the dark energy was more potent. Vokran's roar of triumph had turned into a wail of agony. Despite all of his strength and fortitude, he collapsed and shook.
Take his flesh. Bind it to the engine.
From below Dregor's throne of sundered stone, a suit of dark mechanical armor was wheeled forth by Karthak the Bloodwrought. By now, the champion's body was ravaged by demon change. Something dark and abyssal had crept into his soul. The essence of the thing manifested in his tortured and mutated flesh. Claws and monstrous faces stretched it as they fought for release, whilst screams heralded every agonized jerk of Vokran's body. Karthak released the ribcage of the engine, which sprang open like a fanged maw. Chains spilled from within like hungry tentacles, driven by a smoke-spewing, oil-spattering device on the back of the armor that also colonized its joints and limbs. Hooks fashioned at the end of the chains found purchase in the terrified meat puppet and dragged Vokran thrashing into the engine's iron embrace. After the ribcage slammed shut, the screaming stopped. A dull glow smoldered in the eyes of the engine's banded warhelm. Its studded torso, made to resemble bone, heaved as if with a first breath. Dregor leapt from his rocky vantage point and landed in front of him, stone splintering beneath him. Dominance had always been one of the warlord's chief credos.
Who is your master?
With a creak of shifting iron, the demon engine went down on one knee in front of the warlord and lowered its head. Dregor smiled, then struck it hard across the temple. Even bowed, the demon engine was a head taller than the warlord, but his blow was fearsome enough to send it reeling to its feet and back a step. Its eyes flared with red hate, and an array of weapons, sharp, spiked and bladed things, festooned with chains and dripping oil, snapped from its arms, greedy for blood. Dregor fed it his rage and his fury, which boiled within him like a tempest. He sensed the thing that had hollowed out his champion's corpse for its own, slaved to the engine. It struggled against its bonds. Let slip, it would devour him and all of his warriors. Dregor liked that. The demon engine would cause such carnage. His smile became a snarl.
Slay our enemies. Bleed them. Bring me what I seek.
The streets of Sepulchre 4 were drowning in blood. Ecclesiarchy troops lay tangled in the rubble like broken alabaster dolls. Survivors fell back by degrees, sloshing through vital fluids and avoiding the corpses choking up the once proud avenues. Despite their defiance, the Shrine World's defenders were wilting before the Chaos Battalions. The Battle Sisters were losing. Several combat squads were trying to hold their ground in Unity Square of Monast, Sepulchre's capital. All other cities had been evacuated or overrun. Here in Monast, the Red Rage fell hardest. Here in Monast, they'd bracketed the defenders' escape routes, destroyed the bridges before reinforcements could be brought in, ensuring dominance of the blood-soaked skies. Here in Monast, they sought something, a relic, to satisfy their warmongering god. The Red Rage surrounded the convent bastion, but, as of yet, hadn't broken through. But time, Tsugan was acutely aware, was running out.
Enhanced magnification.
The image resolved itself in his oculobe. A bare-headed battle sister was holding her power sword aloft, rallying the troops when she took a round to the neck. She fell seconds later as the mass reactive shell exploded, staining her skull-white armor crimson. Sustained bolter fire met her demise. Tsugan was reluctantly impressed. The Battle Sisters had adopted a long firing line and kept it steady in spite of casualties. He watched another Sister Superior step into the dead one's place and try to anchor the defenders. No war cries, nor screams. It was unnerving. At first, Tsugan thought it was pique at having to call on the Astartes to retrieve their holy artifact. Now he wasn't so sure. The Battle Sisters were almost automatons. A few shattered Rock Creek barricades and a pair of half-destroyed tanks stood between them and the enemy. Red Rage traitor marines, their power armor baptized in arterial blood, wielding bolt guns and chain blades, came at them in a mob. Cultists ranged ahead of them like pack dogs. Tsugan sneered contemptuously.
Weak.
Your orders, Brother Sergeant.
It was Anchor's voice across the comlink. The fire drakes were 100 meters or so from the battle site, having penetrated Unity Square and approached down its flank. They could avoid this fight, continue on to the convent bastion and the mission. Praetor ignited his thunder hammer. Energy crackled along the head and haft, stirring the weapon's machine spirit.
Combat formation.
Tsugan rejoiced. Battle at last. As the fire drakes advanced, a missile scudded overhead and tore apart one of the immobilized tanks. It detonated the fuel reserves, slinging the warrior maiden who'd been firing its turret-mounted heavy bolter to the ground, where she lay bleeding. Flamers were brought up and bathed the onrushing Red Rage with superheated promethium. The cultists died immediately, like pathetic candles withered by a blowtorch. The traitor marines were not so easily felled. One collapsed to a knee, shimmering in the heat haze, his armor wreathed by fire, but the others drove through it. Emerging from the smoke, they looked like demons born from the fiery hells of the warp. Tendrils of licking flame trailed off their battle plate. Chain blades screeching for blood, the Red Rage were about to tear into the Battle Sisters when a second flamer blast smashed into them from the flank, smelling bodies unprepared to meet it.
Into the fires of battle!
Praetor thundered towards the traitor marines like an armored amble. Tsugan was behind him. He felt the resonance of his heavy footfalls through his armor, and those of Kairu and Anchor either side. Gathimu was at the rear, slow enough to scorch the Red Rage with his heavy flamer. Tsugan felt him too, saw his ident rune on the grainy tack display imposed on his helmet lens.
Advance 3 steps, fire. Advance 3 steps, fire.
Gathimu was unfaltering. Running in Terminator armor was difficult, but not impossible. Unused to the maneuver, Tsugan found his enhanced physiology stretched, but he soon compensated. His breath sounded harsh and reverberant inside his helmet. The enemy were getting closer through the yellow-orange optic lenses. A spray of blood cascaded from the shattered skull of a traitor marine as Praetor connected with his thunderhammer. A second red slash tore from the warrior's stomach as the salamander sergeant used his storm shield to open him up. Tsugan triggered his storm bolter, The harsh crash-bang staccato that followed, filling his heart with righteous anger.
In Vulcan's name, glory to Prometheus!
He strafed a fresh line of cultists rushing to intercept the salamanders. The Terminators barreled through them like they were nothing. One crumpled against Ankar's armored bulk. Another disappeared in a visceral mist, torn apart by Kairu's chain fist. Ahead of them, the Battle Sisters were rallying. But further enemy forces were coming. Havoc squads armed with heavy weapons and a Rhino APC carrying another battle squad. A wall of fire spat from their ranks. It ricocheted off the invulnerable Terminators, but scythed brutally into the Battle Sisters. Bodies were spun and tossed by the fusillade. They fell in silence despite their wounds. A trio of Ecclesiarchy tanks rolled up the streets to meet the enemy's secondary force, two Battle Sisters squads running alongside them. Unity Square was packed with troops. A short-range firefight had erupted across a small patch of open ground. Frantic melter beams stabbed across the debris, generators screaming. Heavy bolters added a grunting chorus to the orchestra of war. The skirmish was escalating. In the middle of the storm, the fire drakes met the enemy proper. Cracking ceramite, the sound of sundered power armor, accompanied Sugan's bludgeoning of one of the traitor marines. Another came in his wake, firing his combi bolter point blank into the salamander's torso. Tiny insect-like stings were no more than an annoyance. Sugan's power fist crushed him into paste. Buoyed by the sudden appearance of heavily armored reinforcements, the Battle Sisters advanced beyond their barricades to link up with the Space Marines. Gathimu had reached his Battle Brothers too and sent a plume of burning Promethium into the Chaos Rhino. Destroyed tracks and a badly scorched hull brought the vehicle to a skidding halt. Keeping up the pressure, Gathimu engulfed the stricken Rhino. Smoke-shrouded figures stumbled from its hatches before the hold ignited and blew out the rear door in a deep foom of exploding incendiary. The muzzle flare from Sugan's storm bolter lit up his armor in a stark glow. Already ablaze, the traitor marines from inside the vehicle bucked and spasmed against the bolt storm. Three survived, staggered by shell impacts but unbowed in their durable power armor. Praetor's Thunderhammer showed no such mercy as he waded in and crushed them. Emboldened, the Battle Sisters advanced ahead of the more cumbersome Terminators to establish a fresh strongpoint beyond Unity Square. Further squads were moving in from the avenues of broken temples and collapsed spires. Rubble provided a natural cordon in which to funnel the Chaos Renegades. Sugan noticed the Sister Superior he'd seen earlier give a curt nod of thanks to his sergeant before pressing on. Praetor's voice rumbled over the comlink a moment later.
Fireball, converge at my position.
A series of affirmation runes flashed up on Sugan's helmet lens as the squad tightened its coherency.
Do your parts.
Kairu sounded eager for more. He wasn't alone. Sugan was getting ready to head after their allies when Praetor spoke again.
Hold position. Brother Sergeant.
Gathimu cut Sugan off before he made a mistake he'd regret.
Be patient, brother. This isn't over yet.
Sugan followed his eyeline. A pair of Immolator battle tanks spearheaded the Ecclesiarchy counter-assault. Their Inferno cannons were short-ranged but deadly. Shooting gouts of intense fire, they laid a path for the warrior maidens behind them. Some rode inside the Rhino APC that followed. Others hung onto its outer rails, holding their bolters one-handed. Sugan's eyes narrowed. His oculobe filtered out smoke graining and sharpened the image despite the distance and the heat haze. Something was coming. Heralded by a squall of blood-crazed cultists. What was left of the Havocs and the few traitor marines from the battle squads retreated to consolidate with it.
Massive heat signature, Brother Sergeant.
Gathimu was calm, the sword of utter stillness to Tsugan's font of reckless anger.
I read.
Threat icons in Sugan's helmet array flashed insistently.
Looks like some sort of machine.
Zugan locked onto it with his targeter. His TAC display spooled down the meters rapidly. It was speeding up, and no dreadnought. Anker cranked fresh rounds into his storm bolter. The sound arrested Praetor's reply. A dark shape was crashing out of the sky towards the Firedrakes. It took Zugan a few seconds to realize it was one of the immolators. They were already moving when Praetor bellowed.
Disperse!
A hunk of flaming tank landed between them, like so much burning shrapnel. It had literally been torn apart.
Forward on me, brothers!
Praetor circled the wreck quickly, overcoming the weight of his armor with sheer strength. Zugan was first behind him, but Praetor already had a lead.
What is that thing?
It resembled a suit of mechanized armor, a simulacrum of a man, something that might once have been part of the long-defunct Legio Cybernetica. And though it had pistons and cogs, wheels and chains, and vented steam and oil like a maglev train, it was no robot. Something lived and drew breath in those dark iron confines. Zugan felt it.
Unnatural.
Gathimu sounded almost haunted.
It's possessed.
Zugan's teeth clenched. It was a demon that had a hand in the death of his former captain, Khotan Kadai. His ire grew as he vowed this one would be banished back into the warp without taking anyone with it. A short distance away, the Battle Sisters were leveling everything they had at it. Bolter fire, even melter blasts, rolled off like they were nothing. Another immolator crumpled like parchment when the demon engine shoulder-barged its hull. Fuel and ammunition exploded in a vast fireball that Zugan felt in the resulting heat wash.
Emperor's name, it's strong!
Praetor was swinging his thunderhammer in a slow but steady arc.
Stronger.
The demon engine was relentless. It tossed battle sisters like limp marionettes. White armored bodies fell like rain, eviscerated by its blades and saws. Zugan heard Praetor mutter when the fire drakes charged.
Vulcan, guide me in my hour of doom.
Up close, the demon engine was massive. It reeked of blood and oil. Smoke and heat exuded off its dark iron flesh in a pall. But it was the eyes that Zugan really noticed. With every blow, as the carnage increased, they blazed brighter with a malign light. Praetor swung. It was like lightning from the sky when he struck. Zugan expected to see the demon engine crumple, but instead, his sergeant's battle cry became a roar of agony as he was punched off his feet several meters through the air. To see the mighty Praetor so humbled made the Firedrakes falter. Kairu recovered quickest, getting ahead of Zugan to ram his chain fist into the demon engine's torso.
Taste Vulcan's wrath, Warpspun!
The oath died on his lips when one of the thing's hellblades punctured his Terminator armor like it was tin. With his aegis broken, Kairu could only watch as the saw teeth churned his innards to mulch. Gathimu was advancing fast, Kairu's name a cry of anguish on his lips. The igniter on his heavy flamer was already burning when the demon engine leveled its wrist-mounted cannon and unloaded. Dozens of armor-piercing shells, jacketed with hellfire, peppered his armor and detonated the Promethium tanks on his back. Blinded by the sudden explosion, Zugan waited a few seconds before his oculobe implant compensated. Gathimu was burning.
Anchor!
The other Firedrake nodded. They would attack the demon engine together. Zugan's TAC display recorded 5 meters until engagement when a transmission icon flashed urgently on his helmet lens. It had an Imperial signature, emergency coded. The message spooled as rune text across the display. Incoming. Fall back 5 meters and stand fast. A missile streaked overhead. No time to retreat. Zugan and Anker locked their bodies as the ordnance hit. It struck the demon engine squarely and it disappeared in a storm of fire and shrapnel. The explosion billowed outwards, engulfing the Terminators who weathered the blast like a cliff against the tide. When the dust dispersed, The demon engine was crouched almost 50 meters away, but still intact. It rose slowly. Its dead eyes blazed brighter. Behind the salamanders, ecclesiarchy troops were advancing in force. A stern-faced sister superior appeared from the roof hatch of an exorcist. It looked more like a grotesque church organ than a battle tank, but there it was. Auto-loaders priming for another missile launch. Another pair of immolators flanked it. Heavy bolter turrets rattling. High-velocity, mass-reactive shells stitched a thick line all the way to the demon engine. The dense impact never even scratched it. The tanks rolled on past the salamanders, determined to block it. Two rhinos sped after them, fully loaded with engines screaming.
See to your battle, brother.
Praetor was on his feet. His battle helm was shattered, and he'd torn it off. He was blooded, still groggy from the blow. It was incredible he lived, let alone stood. Praetor scowled when it didn't happen immediately.
Get Gethimu up.
With some effort, Anka and Sugan hauled the fire drake to his feet. His armor was badly damaged, blackened by burns, but he nodded his willingness to fight. Sugan was ready to go again.
How do we kill it?
We don't.
But brother Kairu is gone.
Praetor's face was grim. This wasn't an easy decision.
We made for the convent bastion. They have given us that chance.
He gestured to where the battle sisters fought and died furiously. Incomprehension and anger warred in Sugan's burning eyes.
What of vengeance? Our brother's death demands it!
Praetor snarled, thrusting his thunderhammer in Sugan's direction.
I'll fail you where you stand. Obey my order.
He showed them his back and stalked away.
On my lead!
Despite himself, Sugan was about to protest again when Gathimu touched his arm.
We'll win no honor for Kairu by dying here, our oaths unfulfilled. Sacrifice is not always physical, brother.
Grief softened Sugan's face briefly before the mask returned and his impotent wrath dominated. The fire drakes left the battlefield. The convent bastion wasn't far. Sugan knew, in their wake, the demon engine would be close. The heavy drumming of explosions outside sounded muffled through the thick convent bastion walls. Father Lumion was pacing. Why don't they feel thick enough? Since departing with the Crusaders, Ignacia had not returned. Five Celestians remained, half of her bodyguard, led by Sister Climene. They eyed the long corridor beyond the foreshield nervously. It was dark, its emergency lighting low. He looked away when the shadows started to grow and coalesce in his mind. His heart was racing, and he gripped his Aquila for support. Evangeline showed no such anxiety. She was knelt before the reliquary, serene, bereft of all doubt. Though her lips moved in prayer, she made no sound. Sister Climene hunched over a tactical console fashioned like a shrine in one corner of the chamber. She turned to Father Lumion, who then went over to her. A grainy picked viewer displayed the situation beyond the convent bastion's walls. Flaring bolter fire polluted the image with bright flashes, overloading the external picked viewer. Static from comlink chatter obscured it further, but the picture was painfully clear to Father Lumion. There was no escape. They would all die here. All that mattered was the relic. He was muttering a prayer to the Emperor when four armored forms came into view at the edge of the pict. Lumion had never studied the Adeptus Astartes in any great detail, but he recognized the insignia of the salamanders and offered up his profound thanks. Despite their bulky armor, the Astartes progressed steadily through the chaos picket lines, treading foes with their holy bolters and bathing the heinous masses with cleansing flame. Father Lumion was transfixed as a bald-headed giant smashed his way to the gate, his warrior brothers behind him. As the barrier wall began to open, a force of Celestians came out to meet the Astartes. desperate to get inside. The red rage couldn't get close. The defenders were just too fierce to breach. Once the salamanders were through, the Celestians retreated and the gate banged shut again. Pintle-mounted fire from the towers intensified, and a battle tank was rolled into the small outer courtyard to watch the gate. The Vox unit on the tactical console crackled to life.
This is Sergeant Praetor of the Salamander's First Company Fire Drakes. Acknowledge.
Father Lumion looked to Sister Climini, who gestured for him to answer. His relief was almost palpable.
Lords, the Emperor's blessing, you have come. I am Father Lumion, missionary high priest attached to the orders.
We are sealing the inner doors now.
Ah, but how will we get out? The relic!
Is in safe hands. Be more concerned that the enemy doesn't get in.
There was a short pause that filled the priest's gut with lead.
Something is following us. There is little time. Ready the relic. We will be with you soon.
The Vox link died, and silence returned. Something is following us. Something. The words replaying in Lumion's head chilled him before he found some resolve.
Sister Evangeline.
She was praying in front of the reliquary and looked up.
It's time.
The force shield shimmered once, then dissipated before Praetor and his fire drakes stepped into the sanctum. It was quick to resolve itself again, the waft of ozone from its reactivation souring the air. Tsugan scowled at such fear.
I won't save you.
Praetor looked down at the frail old priest in front of him.
Then we shall have to rely on the Emperor's grace to protect us.
If Praetor had an opinion about that, he kept it well hidden. The priest bowed.
I am Father Lumion.
The Firedrake sergeant kept the introductions brief. He showed him a small cylindrical device mag-locked to his belt.
Teleport, Homer. Once locked onto its signal, my ship will transport us and the relic aboard.
Praetor's expression became regretful.
Its localized field is too small for all of us. Besides, you would not survive translation intact. I'm truly sorry.
Lumion was already resigned to his fate. He had no fear of death, only of losing the relic. Praetor's gaze alighted on the reliquary of Sister Euthraxes, where a slim novitiate was kneeling.
Brothers, make way.
The fire drake standing behind him spread out. A gap for Praetor and the relic formed between them.
When translation occurs, there will be a massive exothermic reaction. Stand well back. Better still, leave the chamber.
Praetor had moved into position. When he turned, the novitiate was standing downcast before him.
I am tempered in Vulcan's Forge, sister. I've no need of benediction.
Praetor looked up.
Priest, bring forth the relic. Our time is almost up.
A dull explosion echoed through the convent bastion walls all the way to the sanctum. Luminal red bathed the chamber from the tactical console. The outer wall had been breached. Tsugan had a decent view of the screen from where he was standing. The ensuing firefight was brutal. A familiar form appeared through the carnage of bolter fire and smoke. Celestians fell like porcelain statues, shattered by its irresistible force.
The machine is broken through.
It scythed through the defenders, crushing tanks and swatting battle sisters aside until it reached the inner gate. Flamers and melter guns were brought up, but nothing fazed it. If anything, the demon engine looked bigger, a mutating hulk who